Well, I am really thrilled to have another wonderful friend here who we kind of see just walking down the streets or maybe at a restaurant in Wailuku town. I mean, she literally is just across the way from me over here. At Stacy Moniz, so good to see you.
Hey, thank you for having me. What a great day to be here.
Yes, so we got a lot of energy. Marina is supercharged.
At Ka'ahumanu
Center.
Thank you. Oh my God, I just messaged her that on Facebook. Oh my God, you're doing such great things over there.
Well, I saw you there Saturday. I was upstairs and I saw you talking actually on Saturday.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, we just had a domestic violence expo there. Marina was there. The Maui County Committee on the Status of Women hosted their third annual Domestic Violence Awareness Month Expo at Ka'ahumanu Center. Mm-hmm. So I just sent Marina a message about what a great job she and Tony are doing over there.
We absolutely, again at QKC, love to support our local organizations, and anytime we can host really amazing events, of course the Domestic Violence Fair is definitely one of them and is a necessary one. So proud to be a part of that.
And, you know, we always do that. Not a lot of people want to talk domestic violence at the mall. You know, everybody's kind of shopping. They got things going on. But we always say, if we even help just one person, if we're there and somebody, just one person or one family needed to hear our message, we win. And every year that happens. And I can tell you that this year gives me chicken skin.
Incredible.
There are more than one family this year that were seriously just looking for our help. So
amazing.
It's amazing. Cool. So thank you for doing that.
Well, what you do really, Stacy, is you make sure with the Women Helping Women that you provide a very safe environment for people.
Yeah, we definitely try to do that. You know, every year we need to have Domestic Violence Awareness Month because sadly, domestic violence continues to affect one in four women in our country, and it also affects men, that's for sure too. So we are seeing more and more men coming up for help.
Oh, wow.
This year was an especially tragic year for us here on Maui in the state of Hawaii. Early this year, Kehau Farias was killed at Foodland, and that was really tragic. I mean, it was such a brutal murder right in the middle of Foodland, and I know that for us at Women Helping Women, it was especially difficult to experience that, and for all of the community, because there were people and survivors in the store who witnessed this happening, and it was so in your face that you can't even avoid it. The thing that was especially sad, too, was that she was doing everything that she should do. She didn't go out alone, which is she got a restraining order. When he violated the restraining order, she called the police. The police did what they're supposed to do. They arrested this guy. So it's one of those realities that, you know, if somebody is intent on hurting you, it's really important to, I don't even know, like, what else would have helped her? Maybe our shelter would have helped.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's hard, you know. So she did everything. And then we had a murder-suicide in May. In Kahului, and then also like a week later on the Big Island, we had a triple homicide. This man killed his wife and two children on the Big Island. And then just last week in Oregon, a Maui man killed his two children and then killed himself. And you know, people think that this is suicide and that we need to talk about suicide prevention. You know what? Really, the bottom line on that is domestic violence. I believe that we should do suicide prevention. But in these situations, really what's going on is a very powerful form of power and control. And it's really sad and really, it breaks my heart. So we are today, this afternoon at 4:30, holding signs in front of UH Maui College. And then we're having a vigil that starts about 5 o'clock. And every year we do a vigil and we'll honor these people who were killed this year by domestic violence. And then we will have a moment of silence and read their names.
What time is that starting, Stacy?
The vigil will probably start about 5:15.
And you can just go down to the college and see people there at 5:15?
Yep. Come and join us. We'll be waving signs at 4:30 and then heading into the great lawn there right in the front of the college.
You know, a lot of people may think you're doing your voting still.
I know.
Because they see the sign waving. There's all so many people sign waving still on the side
and
of the road.
But every election year we face that. You know, every election year we do. But I think our sign waving is not as enthusiastic as the political sign waving, and it's a lot more somber and serious.
Well, I'm so glad that you bring things up. You know, I try to keep abreast of what's going on. I really try to read, and I did not know about half of the issues that happened. I never heard about the thing in Oregon. I never heard about the Big Island one.
Sure.
I you know, there's it's so depressing and heartbreaking, yeah. But so important that we really, really are aware of it. I know you've worked very hard to keep it from being behind closed doors.
Sure.
To let people really be aware of this, that, I mean, the staggering figure that made such an impact on me mm-hmm. was 1 in 5. And yeah. it's really like 1 in 4 if yep. you bring in the issues of that are domestic violence.
Absolutely.
It's 1 in 5 for rape and 1 in 4 for domestic violence. And I did a CD.
I did a CD.
And
I'm excited.
I'm going to give you some.
My voice is on there.
Yes, you did one.
I did.
He
it
did.
It was beautiful, too. I didn't did write it. I wish I wrote it. And I wish I was as...
Well, you know what? I wrote it with you in mind. Aww. I really did, because when you did the shows here, mm-hmm. you always, and even on your PSAs, aww. You always say you are not alone.
It's true.
Remember how you always say you are not alone?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. You're going to make me cry. I didn't right. know that.
But that's so why sorry. I wrote that aww. And wanted you to read that, because aww. People, when they're in a terrible situation with domestic violence,
yeah.
one of the hardest things is they think there's no way anyone can help them, because... Because they true. Are, they're that's afraid true. That they might get killed
yeah.
by their partner or husband. They're afraid that if they leave, they'll have no money. They might have kids that they have to leave with, and they don't want to take them out of school.
Exactly.
It is one of the hardest situations. And I've known women, some of the women involved in the project that are Grammy members that I know. I asked these people to be a part of it, and 3 out of the 4 people I asked had experienced domestic violence and had never brought it up.
Wow.
You know what's even scarier? My sister, who was helping me with it, and it's my sister.
Yeah.
I didn't know she'd experienced rape and had
goodness.
Never brought it up
sure.
and had never talked about mm-hmm. it. This is the kind of thing where I felt I had to really bring it up, because I had only spoken about the domestic violence mm-hmm. that happened at your organization. I spoke many years ago, and I thought I was completely
powerful.
Over it. And then when I was there, I broke down in tears, and
yeah.
I thought it was all past. I thought
sure.
it was gone.
Yeah.
And then I realized it's not. It stays. A lot of those issues of self-worth,
mm-hmm.
self-worth of your lack of confidence,
mm-hmm.
of your not trusting. Trust is a huge thing. When that trust is broken
absolutely.
By the person you love, and they beat you up, or they kill someone you love.
Yeah.
You even tell me about how they'll sometimes kill your dog to make
yes.
That shocked me. I think so much that people who are trying to threaten their spouse or partner will kill their dogs. Do you believe that, Marie? I mean, it's
really about power and control.
It really is about power and control. And
anything to get you to do what they want you to do, or stop doing something that they don't want you to do. It's
I'm
going to
give you some of these CDs to
great.
to give and take down.
Where can someone get the CD?
I'm sorry, phone call there. I don't know how you do Facebook Live and deal with a phone call at the same time. So
I don't know.
I haven't figured that out.
This is my first time on Facebook.
You look great. So this is a benefit?
It's
to Women Helping Women?
Yeah, it is. And I've donated, I don't know, hundreds.
Oh, yeah.
We
give them out at various events. Like
fantastic.
Tomorrow we'll be at the Shops at Waylea.
I'll get you some more then.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'll give
fantastic.
You some more. Because I want people to have them.
I can have this for free. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Such a generous gift.
Because on this, I tell people all these issues, not only are they not alone, but that I've gone through, that mm-hmm. many other, that not only can you survive, but you really can thrive. You know,
yes.
many of us have gone through this
yes.
more than you realize.
Beautiful. Oh, yeah.
The power
absolutely.
Of unity, yeah.
Yeah. And
that happens every time we talk about it. People will say, oh, you know, I never said anything. You know, and even, you know, I don't want to bring politics back in the room, but, you know, it's triggering when we have a presidential candidate
oh, yeah.
talking about things like sexual assault
mm-hmm.
and violating women. It just brings all these things up. So like you were saying, how you had really thought about it and it brought up things to talk about and you thought it was healed. And in many ways we do heal, but certain things become triggers again. And I know that right now, and I just kind of want to validate for people, and I... you know, that if you're feeling triggered by all this conversation about, you know,
mm-hmm.
sexual assault and groping of women and just these horrific images and words that are coming out of people's mouths, you know, feel validated that this is a trigger pusher, that it is, it's pushing lots of people's buttons. You're certainly, again, you're not alone. And if you just
alone.
Need a talk story with people, you can always call our hotline. And that number is 579-9581. And we are there 24/7, even just to talk story about, oh, it makes me feel ugly in my stomach, and you know, I don't know what's going on. It's okay. We can talk story.
Well,
about
you
that.
Know,
love that.
I was around. I grew up in Hollywood and Beverly Hills, mm-hmm. around a lot of powerful, rich people, a lot of people in rock and roll, and it was almost accepted. It was so common.
Unfortunately,
it was so common, and people don't realize that this is happening, and it was just taken for granted. This is the way that guys in power sometimes act, and it's, you know, and it's taken so long for people to say, no, it's not okay, you know.
Yeah, there's a whole backlash of women. I don't know if you've seen It's Not Okay. There's a hashtag, It's Not Okay. There's whole women's like
empowerment, women or any sort of victim, really.
Because, you know, if this happened in any other community, like my friend was saying, if this happened in the gay community, the LGBTQ community, not one single gay person would vote for that person. But here we are, we have women, and it's horrific language about women, and we still have women that are going to vote for this person. So I just feel like we need to come together in solidarity and say, you know what, it's not okay to say this. It's not okay to do this. We're going to come together. And so, you know, I always believe that even out of the worst things that happen in life, that there's always something good that comes of it. And again, with this whole mess that this cabinet made, I believe that the good thing that's coming through out of this is that we are talking about sexual assault and violence against women in a way that we haven't before, and that people are coming together and saying that it's not okay, even if it's with a hashtag. I think that's the good thing that comes out of things like this.
Well, we're coming up to the holidays, and you know, and I know, Stacey, because you know you get all the calls at Women Helping Women. Unfortunately, when people are out drinking or if there's holidays, this is supposed to be the happiest time of the year.
Yeah.
And you know that, unfortunately, for those who are going through domestic violence, it can be the scariest time of the year.
And the most stressful. You know, the number one reason people fight is money. And the holidays can be extremely expensive. And so it's one of the things that creates stress. And so sometimes what we see is we'll see a drop in people calling us or coming before the holidays, because everybody's trying to hold their families together for the holidays. It's a very special time, and we all have this value that the holidays are for family, so we want to hold it together. And then, but it's so stressful that sometimes our shelter is very, very full. Sometimes our restraining order office is very, very busy because of the stresses of the holidays. So we want to remind people that if you need a safe place to go, please think of coming to the shelter, because that's what we're all about. We're all about keeping people safe and talking about safety planning and different things. And if there was a time, you know, nobody really wants to be in a shelter during the holidays, but our shelter is a beautiful building.
Absolutely.
We just went through a massive renovation. It's so beautiful. And we have such generous people in our community that make beautiful dinners during the holidays. Bev Gannon, every Christmas Eve.
Really?
She delivers it herself.
Wow.
She brings gifts for the women, because a lot of times the kids get lots of gifts, but the women get forgotten, so she brings gifts. And then the Kehalani brings us Christmas Day dinner.
Fantastic.
So we have an initiative called the 12 Dinners of Christmas, because everybody calls us and wants to do Thanksgiving, Easter, you know, Christmas, or, you know, Christmas Eve. And what we really want to encourage people to do is think about other days besides those days, because we got those
year round, right?
Yeah.
Your resources year round, Women Helping Women.
Exactly. So we offer any day during December, or we're going to roll it out, because I don't mind the holidays coming early at the shelter. Mm-hmm. So any time between now and Christmas that you want to cook dinner for 20 people, depends on how we say 20, or even if you want to sponsor dinner, and we'll order it. You know, we've gone to Pukalani Superette and picked up bentos, or we can have it catered, or you can have it catered by the restaurant of your choice. We're very, very happy to do that.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the warning signs of domestic violence. The problem is, and I'd love to see people who think they're in love and they're going to get married, if they could know the warning signs that the person that they're planning on marrying or moving in with had the elements of domestic violence, if they knew ahead of time. Now, everyone thinks they're in love and everyone thinks that they're perfect when their partner's there or they can live with it. But we know that 1 in 4 people have experienced domestic violence. That means, folks, there's a lot of people out there that you may be dating or thinking of that could be potentially a person that could do a lot of harm to you and change your life for the worse. take away your trust, you know, follow you, keep you isolated. What are some of the warning signs that, that people need to look for that could be a red flag for a person that would be potentially someone that could inflict domestic violence?
That's a great question. And I think, you know, I wish that there was a way, like there was a sign or like people that are abusive have a red eyebrow or something like that, that you would always know. But you'll never know. And unfortunately, a lot of these guys are extremely charismatic. And of course, like I said, it doesn't only happen with two women, but the majority of the abusers really are men. Men abuse other men as well. But some of the warning signs to keep in mind is that domestic violence isn't just about the violence. It's about power and control. So you look for controlling behaviors. You look for things like they want you to change your behavior. So if you're really naturally outgoing and bubbly and they want to like stifle that, because that's one of the things that attracts them to you in the first place, right? Is, oh, you're so fun. And but then they want you, oh, why are you talking to all those guys? Like, you shouldn't talk to other guys. Okay, so starting to control your behavior. That's the first sign. And then even as small as like what you're wearing or how you put your makeup on, or I mean, there's a lot of ways, but look for signs of control. Also who you're talking to. Isolation is a very big red flag for domestic violence. If they're isolating you from your family and your friends, if they're saying things about your family and friends like, you know, they don't like me. You know, a big red flag is if all your family and all your friends don't like your partner, that's a red flag.
Wow, that's interesting. And who, I maybe wouldn't have even guessed that.
Right? Because sometimes we don't like them because maybe, I don't know what it is, there's just something about them. But somebody in your circle is going to like them. If all your friends and all your family don't like this person, that's a big red flag. Because, and also when things want to move really fast, abusers tend to want to get things to move really fast. Let's move in together really quickly. Let's get married. Let's have sex really quickly. Like there's, that's part of that territorialism, owning you, taking control of your life. So those are red flags. Your money, if they're, you know, controlling how you spend your money or giving you money and trying to control it all. Pay attention to money issues.
And that can be a big problem if they want to leave and the account's held in the other person's name and then you have nothing.
Exactly. If everything is in your partner's name, that's a red flag. And if it's not by your choice. So if you start noticing that you're changing your behavior and you don't make any decisions, even the biggest to the smallest. So things like your friends ask you, hey, do you want to go out this after work and, you know, go get some nachos and margaritas, and you can't say yes on your own if you have to check in with your partner. And I know being responsible is one thing, but asking for permission as an adult really isn't, that's not a fair and balanced relationship.
This is important because I think a lot of people don't even think twice about if they're in that situation.
Yeah. And, you know, like, so I might call my partner and say, hey, look, I want to go to have nachos. Is that cool? And, you know, like if I had another commitment and I was supposed to do something else and I forgot about that and my partner says, oh, you know what, actually, weren't we going to go do this? That's one thing. And then you're like, oh, yeah, actually, I can't go tonight, but maybe another night. But if you're thinking, I can't go because my partner's not going to want me to go, or I have to ask permission first, that's a red flag.
So tell me this, if someone's gone to, as I have, and I think you have too. If you've gone through domestic violence, and you've gone from one situation, is it potentially there and you still to maybe go to another?
You know what's interesting? People ask me that all the time because even after I left my ex-husband, the next guy I dated was also an abusive person. He never abused me, but later on, you know, I found out that he was. And it really has less to do with I'm picking the abusive person and more like some of the qualities that I was after, I didn't realize are kind of abusive. And so I have to look at, you know, there's a lot of healing to be done for victims, for abusers. There's a lot of healing that has to be done. So even, so say you are someone who's abusive in your relationship. There's a lot of work that has to be done to stop that. We have to change our thoughts. We have to change our, you know, our behaviors, our patterns. Same is true for victims and survivors of domestic violence. We have to look at, you know, what is it that I find so attractive about this guy? And what I learned was that I really like the exciting guys, sort of the bad boys and the, you know, edgy psychology. And I had to look at, I was young too, right? So that all makes sense. But there's nothing wrong with picking, even two guys that were abusive in my lifetime, you know, there's nothing wrong with me, but I have to look at, you know, what are the choices I'm making and what is that? And just take a look at that and heal some of that, and then my choices get better.
There's a lot of healing you have to do. Absolutely. And when people come to you, mm-hmm. They really need a lot of healing. Yeah. And you know what? I hate to say it, but it isn't always fast.
No,
it can take a long time because don't you find a lot of people bury it because they've learned to survive with it for a long time, some people.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say this. To me, and to many women that I've worked with over the years, the most difficult and the most, the worst forms of abuse are the emotional abuse, the verbal abuse, the psychological abuse. These things scar us for life. And you think about growing up, if you grew up in an abusive household, verbally abusive, emotionally abusive, you know what I mean. Like the messages that are given to us take forever to forget. So I left my ex-husband 31 years ago. And sometimes I still, when I brush my teeth, he said I brush my teeth the lazy way. And to this day, it's 30 years later, and mm-hmm. it's something so small as the way I brush my teeth, I still hear his voice in my head. And I wonder, why do I still think about that? Mm. But I do, because it was a form of emotional abuse that stuck in my brain, and I just can't get rid of it. And I hear women say this all the time, and even men who say, the emotional, psychological, and I would even say spiritual abuse, like the breaking you down and making you feel really bad about yourself. It takes a really long time to recover from that.
And you try to be strong, but in being strong, sometimes you bury the feelings. And I've seen a lot of people who have gone through emotional abuse eat more, stress more, and try to bury the pain or try not to look beautiful because they don't want to be loved because they think mm-hmm. they're not lovable, or they think if they get into a relationship, they may get abused again.
Exactly. And that's a real fear. I mean, I think, and especially, you know, like I said, the next guy I dated was also abusive and not intentional, certainly not intentional. But it makes us nervous nonetheless. And so I think that's a good thing. And one of the things that we try to teach women at the shelter is to trust our instincts. If you start to see, like you were asking, what are the red flags? If you start to feel like, hey, I think this is moving a little too fast for me, and you try to put on the brakes and he's not buying it, that's a red flag. But trust your instincts. You know that.
Or you can just call and ask and talk to someone.
Run it by your friends, because that's the thing too. What I say to women who are leaving abusive relationships, like myself when I did, is to create our support system, because a lot of that gets taken away when we're in an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. So we want to recreate a support system, if that's your family, if it's your friends. And if it's not safe to be with your family or the friends that you used to have for whatever reason, maybe you were using drugs or, you know, there was a lot of other dysfunction going on in those friendships, create a new circle of friends. Mm-hmm. Create powerful, positive, healthy relationships and friendships, because once you build that support system, they'll last with you forever. And then they'll help you say things like, hey, I noticed that you don't hang out with us anymore, and say, hey, maybe this relationship's a little more controlling than you thought, and then there's a red flag, right?
Mm.
But our support systems can help us gauge if this relationship feels healthy or not, you know.
Well, I know, let's go over and repeat. We have about 3 minutes left, but let's repeat what you're doing this evening is a sign waving at 4:30. Right in front of the college,
right in front of UHM Maui College.
Will you have the signs, or do people
need
to bring
them? We do have signs. If you have your signs, bring them too, but we'll have some signs to share.
And you're going to be remembering and repeat the names of those who have died at terrible deaths.
Yeah, so the
from
first
the ones
was,
they loved.
Yeah, Kehau Farias was killed at Foodland earlier this year. And then Leticia Boswell was killed by her husband in Kahului. And then we have three victims on the Big Island. Their last name was Hoffman. The first woman, the woman's name is Araceli. And then her children, Clara and John Jr., were three murder victims on the Big Island in Kona. And then we've got the kids in on the mainland that were killed. They actually have roots here on Maui. And I can't really remember their names. I have it on the...
That was in Oregon.
Yeah,
right?
In Oregon. And then we're also still remembering Charlie Scott, whose murder trial is happening, and Morera Monsalve, who is still missing and presumed a victim of domestic homicide. So we have all of these families, women, to remember tonight at 4:30, and then the vigil will start at 5 o'clock.
And the vigil will be doing candles? Or?
Yep, we have candles, and we have all the names of all the victims who've been killed in the state of Hawaii over the past few years.
And then tomorrow there's an event?
Tomorrow, Women Helping Women will be at the shops at Wailea. They're doing, every Wednesday they have, like tomorrow, Kamako right. Kukona will be singing and dancing hula, and Women Helping Women will have a table there.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I have some, A Rise Above Abuse. I'm going to give my lovely friend Stacey Moniz from Women Helping Women a batch of these to give out to anyone that wants them. These are all from people, a lot of them understand, and they're written a lot by me and other people who understand the elements that you have to go through to heal. A song called Healing Can Come, a lovely piece. You Are a Living Miracle, This Is Who I Am, You Are Worthy, Love Is Your Saving Grace, Arise Above, She Would Not Bow Her Head. Really powerful pieces that will help you heal and survive. And there's such great work. What's the hotline number at Women Helping Women?
579-9581. 24 hours a day, someone will answer your call.
Thank you so much, Stacey.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Aloha.
Aloha.
The fire is now fully contained. 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 The fire is now fully contained.